The gravity of their scheme hit hard the next day, just after dinner. It was entirely possible to enjoy Christmas without cards, without parties and dinners, without needless gifts, without a lot of things that for some reason had been piled onto the birth of Christ. But how could anyone get through the holidays without a tree? Skip the tree, and Luther knew they just might pull it off. They were clearing the table, though there was precious little to clear. Baked chicken and cottage cheese made for an easy cleanup, and Luther was still hungry when the doorbell rang. "I'll get it," he said. Through the front window of the living room, he saw the trailer out in the street, and he knew instantly that the next 15 minutes would not be pleasant. He opened the door and was met with three smiling faces. Two youngsters dressed smartly in full Boy Scout regalia, and behind them Mr. Scanlon, the neighborhood's permanent scoutmaster. He, too, was in uniform. "Good evening," Luther said to the kids. "Hello, Mr. Crank. I'm Randy Bogan," said the taller of the two. "We're selling Christmas trees again this year." "Got yours out on the trailer," said the shorter one. "You had a Canadian blue spruce last year," Mr. Scanlon said. Luther glanced beyond them to the long flatbed trailer covered with two neat rows of trees. A small army of scouts was busy unloading and hauling them away to Luther's neighbors. "How much?" Luther asked.
$90, answered Randy. "We had to go up a little because our supplier went up, too."
"80 last year," Luther almost said, but held his tongue. Nora materialized from nowhere and suddenly had her chin on his shoulder.
"They're so cute," she whispered.
"The boys are the trees," Luther almost asked. Why couldn't she stay in the kitchen and let him slug his way through this one? With a big fake smile, Luther said,
"Sorry, but we're not buying one this year."
Blank faces. Puzzled faces. Sad faces. A groan from just over his shoulder as the pain hit Nora. Looking at the boys, with his wife literally breathing down his neck, Luther Crank knew that this was the pivotal moment. Snap here and the floodgates would open. Buy a tree, then decorate it, then realize that no tree looks complete without a pile of presents stuffed under it. "Hang tough, old boy," Luther urged himself, just as his wife whispered, "Oh, dear."
"Hush!"
he hissed from the corner of his mouth. The boys stared up at Mr. Crank, as if he'd just taken the last coins from their pockets.
"Sorry we had to go up on the price," Randy said sadly. "We're making less per tree than last year," Mr. Scanlon added helpfully.
"It's not the price, boys," Luther said with another bogus grin. "We're not doing Christmas this year. Gonna be out of town. No need for a tree. Thanks anyway."
The boys began looking at their feet, as wounded children will do, and Mr. Scanlon appeared to be heartbroken. Nora offered another pitiful groan, and Luther, near panic, had a brilliant thought.
"Don't you boys go out west each year for a big campery of some sort, New Mexico in August, I seem to recall from a flyer?"
They were caught off guard, but all three nodded slowly.
"Good, here's the deal. I'll pass on the tree, but you guys come back in the summer, and I'll give you $100 for your trip."
Randy Bogan managed to say, "Thanks," but only because he felt obligated. They suddenly wanted to leave. Luther slowly closed the door on them, then waited. They stood there on the front steps for a moment or two, then retreated down the drive, glancing over their shoulders. When they reached the truck, another adult in uniform was told the bizarre news. Others heard it, and before long, activity around the trailer came to a halt as the scouts and their leaders grouped at the end of the Crank's driveway and stared at the Crank house as if aliens were on the roof. Luther crouched low and peeked around the open curtains of the living room.
"What are they doing?" Nora whispered behind him, crouching too.
"Just staring, I guess."
"Maybe we should have bought one."
"No."
"Don't have to put it up, you know."
"Quiet.
Just keep it in the backyard."
"Stop it, Nora. Why are you whispering? This is our house."
"Same reason you're hiding behind the curtains."
He stood straight and closed the curtains. The scouts moved on, their trailer inching down the street as the trees on Hemlock Street were delivered. Luther built a fire and settled into his recliner for some reading. Tax stuff. He was alone because Nora was pouting. A short spell that would be over by morning. If he'd faced down the Boy Scouts, then who should he fear? More encounters were coming, no doubt, and that was one of the very reasons Luther disliked Christmas. Everybody selling something, raising money, looking for a tip, a bonus, something, something, something. He grew indignant again and felt fine. He eased from the house an hour later. On the sidewalk that bordered Hemlock, he shuffled along, going nowhere. The air was cool and light. After a few steps, he stopped by the Becker's mailbox and looked into the front window of the living room not far away. They were decorating their tree, and he could almost hear the bickering. Ned Becker was balancing himself on the top rung of a small ladder and stringing lights, while Jude Becker stood back a step and carped directions. Jude's mother, an ageless wonder even more terrifying than Jude herself, was also in on the fray. She was pointing directions to poor Ned, and her directions were in sharp conflict to those of Jude. String them here, string them there. That branch, no, that other branch. Can't you see that gap there? What on earth are you looking at? Meanwhile, Rocky Becker, their 20-year-old dropout, was sitting on the sofa with a can of something, laughing at them and offering advice that was apparently being ignored. He was the only one laughing, though. The scene made Luther smile. It reinforced his wisdom, made him proud of his decision to simply avoid the whole mess. He shuffled along, filling his haughty lungs with the cool air, happy that for the first time in his life he was eliminating the dreaded ritual of the tree trimming. Two doors down, he stopped and watched the Frohmeyer clan assault an 8-foot spruce. Mr. Frohmeyer had brought two kids to the marriage. Mrs. Frohmeyer had arrived with three of her own, after which they produced another, making 6, the eldest of which was no more than 12. The entire brood was hanging ornaments and tinsel. At some point during every December, Luther overheard one of the neighborhood women comment on just how awful the Frohmeyer tree looked, as if he cared. Awful or not, they were certainly having a wonderful time draping it with tacky decorations. Frohmeyer did research at the university. $110,000 a year was the rumor, but with 6 kids, there wasn't much to show for it. Their tree would be the last to come down after New Year's. Luther turned around and headed home. At the Beckers, Ned was on the sofa with an ice pack on his shoulder, Jude hovering over him, lecturing with her finger. The latter was on its side, being inspected by the mother-in-law. Whatever the cause of the fall, there was no doubt that all blame would be placed on poor Ned. Great, thought Luther. Now I'll have to listen to details of another ailment for the next 4 months. Come to think of it, Ned Becker had fallen off that ladder before, 5, maybe 6 years earlier. Crashed into the tree and knocked the whole thing over. Broke Jude's keepsake ornaments. She'd pouted for a year. What madness, thought Luther.